episode of the Retro Asylum podcast is brought to you by the man, the myth, the legend. He is our very own forum moderator, Darren. Thanks very much, Darren. Hey everybody, this is Andy from Retro Asylum. Now, this is a pre-announcement to episode 27 of the Retro Asylum podcast. Now, the reason why I'm doing this announcement is because sometimes things happen before the podcast actually air, because our show basically is recorded a week and a bit in advance. So yeah, two bits of great news and announcement for you guys. Now, first of all, I was lucky enough to record an interview with Anthony and Nicola Caulfield, who are currently making the film Bedrooms to Billions. And I tell you what, after speaking to both of them, I really can't wait to actually see the full movie, because both these guys are absolutely amazing and so passionate about the actual subject, which is the gaming scene in Britain and the UK in the early 80s. And they've got so many great interviews, and talking to them was a real, real treat. So yeah, that episode will come out on episode 28, which is in 2 weeks' time. Now, the second announcement I'd like to announce to all you guys is, now, in this episode, Dean and I basically discuss that his baby's going to be born and his views on that, how excited it is and everything. Now, as you know, babies have got a mind of their own, and Dean's baby arrived a week early, so I've managed to sort of like edit this bit in, and it's basically a way of me saying congratulations to Dean, his wife Carly, on the arrival of the wonderful little baby, George Swain. So congratulations, Dean. And yeah, Dean's going to be taking a little departure from the podcast for a while, because obviously he's got his baby to look after and so on. So we completely understand that. And we can't wait to have Dean back on the show again. So yeah, congratulations, Dean. And let's get back on to the show. And welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 27. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me once again is
the tired Dean Swain.
Tired Dean Swain, mate, I'm with you on that one. I am shattered.
We are both knackered, aren't we? Yeah. So what's caused you to be so tired?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly tell everyone why we're both tired.
Yeah, it sounds dodgy if we're both tired.
Yeah, now what it is, I do shift work. I work for London Underground, but because I don't drive, I get on the train from Essex, go to work, and then I finish my late shifts. And because there's no trains back at certain times, I've got to go back to London, to where my mum used to live, and stay at my mum's.
I've got to admit, I don't know how you do that. That's a journey and a half.
It is. I don't know how many miles it is. And then in the morning, because my wife's ordered so many things for the baby and everything, I've got to be there for 7:30. So I get up about 5:30. So I'm only getting about 2 and a bit hours sleep a night.
That's not good, mate. Not good at all.
Shattered. What about you? Why are you so shattered?
I don't know. I've had 6 days off, so I should be rather alert. To be honest, the past couple of days I've been out on the moped doing the knowledge. So the first day when I was out, not yesterday, the day before, I was absolutely knackered when I got back. I basically, normally I stop off, have some lunch, you know, it takes a whole day, so I treat it like I would if I'm at work.
Yeah.
But on this first day, because I hadn't done it in such a long time, I really just wanted to rush through it, so I didn't stop off, have a break or anything. Yeah. And yeah, I had to sit in a lot of traffic on Euston Road trying to get back to East London. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was, even on the moped, you know, there's only so much traffic you can weave in and out of without getting killed. So,
how are you getting on with the knowledge, though? Are you picking it up? Is it sinking in?
It's sinking in, but it's finding the time. You know, how long have I been doing it now? It must be like 2 or 3 months. I've only done 6 runs, which is abysmal. But it's, you know, finding the time. I live out in Essex like you do. I do shift work. They're 12-hour shifts. I work.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. Plus, it's day and night shifts. So, yeah, finding the time is proving to be harder than what I thought it would be.
And you've got a little one as well, and a little one on the way.
Yeah, 2 weeks to go for the second one. Yeah, not long at all. So
it's getting so close. How are you feeling? You're getting nervous, getting excited?
I'm getting excited because we don't know what we're having. I think it's a boy.
A baby.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Not a little alien coming out. I think it's a boy. That's my hunch. So we'll see. By the time I record my next podcast, the baby will be born, I should imagine. So,
you're going to go for Billy Lee, Jimmy Lee?
No.
I
won't say the name that I've got, but it's an old-fashioned English name.
Okay, I think you told me off the podcast. I remember what you said. Yeah. Nice little name. So yeah, hopefully you'll get your little boy. Now I'm gonna have a little girl. Basically, me and my wife. The baby's gonna be born. It's meant to be born January the 7th, but they said the baby's 1 week ahead, bigger. So I've got a feeling it's gonna be New Year's Eve.
The worst night for it to happen.
Exactly. And that's the reason, guys, like why the podcast that me and Dean do, we don't really go in depth with all the information, the year the game came out, who programmed it, all the codings and this and that, because we do have such busy lives and we try and get out a weekly podcast and we do it mostly by memory. And maybe playing a game for 5 minutes here and there. But, you know, we are mad about retro gaming, which is why we do this weekly show.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to spend a lot more time gaming, but, you know, with a busy job, a child, another one on the way, it is very, very hard. It's strange. I got home a couple of hours early one day last week. I think it was on the Monday, because I actually went out. We deliver at my firm, and I'm normally up in the office, but one of our drivers went sick, so I went out delivering, and I got round a lot quicker than what the drivers normally do. So I managed to get back a couple of hours early, so I thought, right, this is ideal. I'll pop down to the shed. I've just received a package, which is a SNES console, and I was down there for 15 minutes, just plugging it in, make sure it works. I've come back into the house, I get moaned at for not spending any time with my wife. So I can't win. You know, I shouldn't have even been home at that point, but there you go.
It's a lack of time that we have. All right, so you've mentioned the SNES. Why don't you tell us, you know, how much the SNES costs, what other games you've picked up and so on?
Right, I got this on eBay. I paid, I think it was £35, and it came with Street Fighter 2, the standard edition, not Turbo.
Yeah, World Warriors.
Yeah, it came with the power pack, you know, all the leads, only one joypad, but it's not got any yellowing on it at all, which is nice. Although, you know, I've said in the past, not so long ago, you know, that doesn't really bother me as long as the thing works, which it does. And £35 was a good price. I've been getting some more games for it, but again, I've not really had much of a chance to sit down with them and play them properly. You know, I've just checked to make sure all the cartridges work.
You've been getting a little bit excited buying all these games. How many games have you got for it?
Oh, how many have I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So far, I've only had it, you know, a fortnight, if that. Yeah, so
games then?
They are SimCity, Super Mario Land, Super Swift.
Yep.
Street Fighter 2 that came with it, Star Wing, Super Putty, and F-Zero.
Fantastic, mate.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good lineup.
How much have you picked up each of these games for, roughly?
Majority of them I've probably paid about £2 or £3. Super Putty was about £4, I think.
Yeah.
Super Mario Land,
Super Mario World, you mean?
Yeah, Super Mario World. So I'm thinking a Game Boy version, aren't I? Super Mario World was a tenner. and
wow,
I was it was a bit too steep, and I was gutted because when I bought Super Putty, I saw it for about £4, and the cartridge was pristine. It looked new.
Yeah.
Whereas my one's a little bit tatty. So, yeah, you live and learn. But I also picked up Turrican on the Mega Drive, and I'm absolutely gutted. I got it for £16. It was boxed. I thought, this is a result, because I've seen these going for £50 on eBay. And the bloody thing doesn't work. And I've taken the cartridge apart. I've given it a clean, and it's just not having it. No, it comes up with the, you know, under license by Sega and whatever. And then the screen just goes blank. So, yeah, really gutted about that.
But you were saying to me, like, via text, that you need to get yourself, like, one of those little special screwdrivers to completely open it up. Have you done that yet?
I have, yes. After I completed my run yesterday on the bike, I popped into a little hardware shop.
Yeah.
Bought the, you know, proper screwdriver, because it's one of those style ones with the little hole in it.
Right.
It's not your usual cartridge. Because
it still doesn't want to work.
No, still not having it. So I've got one other little plan to give it, you know, a thorough clean.
And
it'll have to be sent back otherwise. Which was a shame, because I got that off of Amazon, which means, you know, I've got to send it back, wait for them to send me the money back, and it's grief.
Oh, man, that's a shame. Let me quickly tell you a little bit about what I've been up to, mate. Again, I've been just as busy as you, no time for anything, but I've bought myself two Mega Drives, which I mentioned again in previous shows.
Yeah.
One of my Mega Drives, I got so dirt cheap, I think it was about £10 or £11 in total.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like a Mega Drive by itself, but I had the cables lying around where I previously owned things.
Yeah.
I remember being at my mum's house, and I remember seeing like the cables and stuff, and I saw them, and I had to get myself a control pad from somewhere, like a third party one that I had. So it all added up to about £10.
And yeah. So what made you get the second one?
The second one, because again, I saw it cheap.
Yeah.
I saw it cheap.
Wanted it.
It was £12. Again, I had like an extra pair of cables.
Yeah.
So all I really need is like an extra control pad. So again, you know. And it's nice just having both Mega Drives.
Yeah.
Because they look very different. You can see that the second Mega Drive, Mega Drive 2, it's a lot cheaper looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to admit, I went for the Model 1 when I picked my Mega Drive up recently. I just wanted the classic look.
When did you get your Mega Drive?
Ooh, probably 3 months ago now. I paid about £25 with it, and that came with two joy pads, all the leads, and a couple of games. So I didn't do too bad. Plus, it was boxed.
Wow. Okay. What games have you got for it?
Oh, loads now. I'll have to jot down a list. I've got quite a few.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that, you know, at some other point, and maybe for another show.
Yeah.
Let me quickly go through my list. Let me bring up my list, actually. I've got them somewhere down here on my phone. Right. I've been on a bit of a spending spree, but each of the games that I've bought from eBay or Amazon, including postage and packaging, haven't cost more than $3.99, and the cheapest one was been about $1.98, something like that.
See, this is the great thing about the Mega Drive at the moment. All the games are really cheap, so it's really a good time to collect for, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I chose a Mega Drive over the SNES, because I've noticed the SNES is slightly pricier. I nearly got one after you mentioned that you had one.
Yeah.
And I was just about to buy it, and I thought, I could do with another Mega Drive.
Well, it's strange, because I bought the SNES thinking the games are going to be roughly the same price as the Mega Drive games. They're not. They are, you know, I wanted to get Turrican 2. That's going for £250. There's no way I'm going to play that kind of... Yeah, £250.
Oh, my God.
On eBay, you know, especially a boxed version, but even the cartridges on them by themselves, £150.
Why are these, I mean, why are they more expensive?
I'm guessing, you know, there just wasn't as many published as, you know, were made back in the day. They're great versions of the Turrican series.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mega Drive versions, apart from Mega Turrican, which is really good, you know, Turrican 1, it isn't the strongest conversion. It was a great game on the Amiga, and the Mega Drive version isn't too good, but the SNES versions of the games are, you know, they're up there. They're decent, but there's no way I could justify paying £250 for one game. That's a brand new system as far as I'm concerned.
It is. Well, you could get yourself loads of different systems. I mean,
yeah.
oh God, no, that's too much money. I mean, I want to collect things, and I have been collecting, but I'm not prepared to spend that much. I basically got a bonus Steam in the last month, and I decided not to tell my wife, because I always tell my wife I get a bonus.
Shrewd move. That's a good one. See, if my payslip didn't get posted here and my wife wasn't here during the day to open it up, I might try and do the same thing, but I can't get past her on that.
We get performance bonuses depending on how we score, you know, doing our job. And I always tell my wife, and every time we've done it, you know, I've always given the money to my wife, going, yeah, buy yourself this, buy yourself that, because I'm nice like that. But this time I thought, you know what, I've got a baby on the way. This is my, and we've bought everything. I bought like the cot, the cupboard and everything else. And I started thinking, you know what, I need to treat myself one last time.
That's which it. Is,
and I have done. Let me give you the listing. It's stupid, the amount of games I bought. All right. Revenge of Shinobi. Now, it's so stupid, I accidentally bought the game twice. So, like I said, you can have what you know, one of the versions. I don't know why I got myself two versions. Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, I'm not too keen on that, but go on.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
Mega Games Collection 1.
Yep.
Sonic 2.
Yeah, not got that.
World of Illusions.
Yep.
Road Rash.
Good game.
Robocop versus Terminator.
Never played it. It doesn't. It's weird. I only like the arcade version, the specy versions.
Oh, Dean, you need to play this. I rank it better than the arcade game. And if anything, it's, I don't know, it feels like the Spectrum game. Me and Tony were talking about this. It controls like the Spectrum game. It's got Terminators in it. It plays really well. It's probably better than
I'll have to nick that off of you.
Yeah, of course you can. It's very bloody as well. It's got lots of
bloody
guts.
Yeah, I've seen that,
Got Flashback.
Good game.
Krusty Super Funhouse.
Never played it.
It's like a basic kiddie version of Lemmings. Yeah. Not many puzzles, really. Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
Which is, it's like Turbo Edition, but it's got extra, I think.
Yeah.
Mick and Mac, Global Gladiators.
I quite enjoyed that.
It's meant to be good. I'd never really replayed it, but a lot of people keep on going on how amazing that game was.
I think, if it's the one I'm thinking of, I played it on the Amiga.
Mm-hmm. All right. The other game I've got is Mega Swiv.
Good game, yep.
Because I think you mentioned that you got yourself...
I've got Super Swiv. It's more or less the same thing, just on the SNES.
And Jimmy White, Whirlwind Snooker.
Yeah, good game. I've never played it on the consoles. I had that on the Amiga. Great game.
Now, each of these games, Dean, I've played for about 5 minutes, and then I've had to put my Mega Drive away under the cupboard under the stairs because I have no time, and if I do try and play them, my wife basically says, well, you could be doing something else around the house.
They're no fun, are they, these women? I don't know what gets into them when they're pregnant.
and it's hard to say no to them because they are pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, and they are right in a way.
I know. It's just like sometimes I think maybe I should grow up a little bit, but I was mentioning to you off the podcast that gaming shed. My wife said I can turn our shed into my little gaming room, which I'm so over the moon about. And I said to her, but what about the other stuff in that shed? She goes, well, we'll buy another shed where we can stick the lawnmower, the ladder, and all the other bits of crap in there.
Mm.
And I've been looking at shed prices, and they all range from about 150 to about 200 and something for something decent size.
Yeah.
And I can't really justify spending that amount of money when I've got a newborn on the way. So I think my gaming shed is going to have to wait, unfortunately.
Yeah, have to be put on hold. That's a shame. You might be able to find a smaller shed at a cheaper price if you have a good look around. I'll try and help you out there if I can.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should just build something with sticks, blow them all underneath it.
Use some tarpaulin.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Right, all right, so why don't we get on with the rest of the show, mate? So let me bring up our show notes. Like I said, today is going to be slightly not as well planned is because both me and Dean are really tired. Let's see, what have we got next? Site news and announcements.
Right. Do you want to go first?
No, I'll let you go first while I research mine.
You might do. Right. My site news is Geek 2013, which is taking place between the 21st and 24th of February 2013 in Margate, of all places. Do you reckon we'll find any arcade games down that way?
No, I went to Margate a while ago.
Yeah.
And Margate was the place where me and my school used to go to every, you know, before the summer holidays.
Yeah.
And it used to be a haven. It used to be one of my favorite places ever, all along the seafront. Plus, you had Funland. But Funland, last time I went, was still there. And if you went right up to it, you can see all the arcades just like, it's, I don't know, it's like a graveyard, basically. You could see through the glass window and you could see. I was so tempted. Like, if I had a truck, I would have broken into them and nicked them.
It's a shame, isn't it? All these seaside resorts, they're just not the same as they were during the 80s.
But yeah, Geek, tell us, what is Geek?
Well, basically, it's one of these events where there's going to be loads and loads of retro stuff to play and competitions and presentations and what have you. Most people, I guess, will be going on Saturday and Sunday, but they have got a preview day on Thursday, the 21st of February. And then on Friday as well, there's going to be over 1,000 games on show, talks and chances to meet developers. So yeah, it's basically, you know, like Play Expo, but in Margate, and probably on a slightly smaller scale, and it's more focused on retro, which is always a good thing.
And the good thing is, though, the Play Expo team, the Replay team, they're going to be bringing their machines down there as well, so it's going to be one heck of an event. I mean, I'm going to try my best to absolutely go there. I've mentioned this to my wife, and she said, well, you need your diversion, so... Definitely go to it.
I think it's about £14 for a ticket or £16.
Well, I'm going to try press passes again.
Well, yeah, of course. We'll sneak in somehow through the back door. But,
yeah.
You know, it's a good day out, these things. If you've got any interest in retro gaming whatsoever, you know, give it a try. Don't get me wrong, you do get a few strange, geeky type people there, but you also get to meet normal people like me and Andy.
Yeah. Well, there are other normal people apart from me and you, Swainy, there.
Well, yeah, there's a few. Not many, but a few.
No, it should be a laugh then. So, all right, why don't you tell us what your next bit of site news is?
My other bit of site news is Chaos. Remember that? Chaos on the ZX Spectrum?
Okay.
Who was it who made that? It was Julian Gallup, wasn't it? Basically, he's planning to bring Chaos back next year at some point. It'll be appearing on probably, you know, your iPhone and iPad and possibly other handheld devices. So
is this going to be like a remake or just like the same game just brought back?
It's a total new remake as far as I'm aware. Well. So I've got to admit, they're not games that I was really into. Laser Squad I played quite a bit, which was one of his. But I don't know if it was because of the sci-fi setting I could get into that a little bit more. But Chaos, yeah, it wasn't really for me. But, you know, these games got a big, big following. So it's quite big news, really. That they
I think it is. It's great that all these classic games are coming out on the more modern systems like the iPhone. It's amazing. The iOS is a perfect platform for it.
Yeah.
And as well as the Android as well.
Yeah, and I think those sort of games could work well online. You know, taking turns against other players, that should work pretty well. So, I think it's been about 27 years since the original came out. It's nice to see it coming back.
Okay, mate. Right, let's go for my bit of site news. Right, for my bit of site news, we've got Jet Set Radio HD. It's coming to the PS Vita, iOS, and Android devices. So, basically, Jet Set Radio is one of the classic games that came out on the Dreamcast and really defined what that console was all about. It did something different. It had really unique graphical style. And recently it did come out on the Xbox 360 arcade thing. And I think it'll work better on the Vita and the other mobile devices as well.
Yeah, especially on the Vita, because you have got, you know, proper controls, unlike the iPhone. Have you played the Xbox version?
No, I haven't played it yet.
No, I haven't either. I love the original on Dreamcast. You know, it's one of the first games that used that cell shading technique for the graphics. Very good game. It's been a while since I've played it, so I probably will pick up the Vita version. The other thing that I'm waiting for, which should be out soon, hopefully, maybe even later today, is Retro City Rampage.
Is that out today?
I'm thinking it might be. It might be. Probably around lunchtime. So hopefully by the time, you know, this podcast is aired in a week's time, it should have been out for about a week. It's been out in America. I'm not too sure why it hasn't been released here in Europe yet.
It must be some sort of exclusive thing, because I know it has come out on Steam and a few other things.
That's right.
I cannot wait to get that, because that originally was meant to be called Grand Theft Nintendo.
That's right. Like that. Yeah, and it seems to have snowballed into this ultimate sort of tribute to retro games. And there's all different graphical modes on that. You can even have it in ZX Spectrum mode. So
really?
Yeah, I think it might be monochrome.
Oh, wow.
So, that's a game I'm waiting to play, because, you know, modern gaming I don't really go in for, but obviously this is a tribute to retro gaming, yeah. So I'm interested, and it does look very nice, so I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it is released today, and I will be playing that on the Vita.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get that. I'm going to have to sort of, like, play that tomorrow, because once we've recorded today's podcast, I'm off to work, pretty much.
Oh.
But I have got one more bit of exciting news.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this. There was a game that was made, I can't remember what it's called, if I can find it, PR Solar, and it was a game that was made by the fans. It was probably like an RPG game.
Right.
And they made it for the actual Mega Drive. It took ages for them to make, and it's meant to be like an amazing RPG game that came out years and years after the Mega Drive had passed away.
Yeah, I think I do remember that coming out. Yeah.
The great news is, yeah, they started a Kickstarter, and the plan is to bring it to the Xbox 360, PC, and the Mac. And I think it's fantastic. And the reason why I think it's fantastic is because all these guys that, you know, that were fans of the Mega Drive and RPGs, they sold a few copies, you know, quite a few copies on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
But they're going to sell to absolutely loads, because I think it will work so well on this sort of platform.
Yeah, yeah. Again, RPGs are not really my thing, but I do remember that being released, and it was, you know, quite a big thing for a new Mega Drive game to come out, and it was received pretty well at the time, so hopefully it still stands up. It should do, because that was only a few years back from what I remember.
I think loads of people will. Yeah. I think it'll come out for a decent amount of price on XBLA, and it'll work well. It's just instant there. Hopefully, you know, all the magazines will promote it, and I'm more than happy to sort of help promote them as well, because it's a great game that needs to be played. Our next bit of news is the competition.
Right. For the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, which again was kindly donated by you.
Yes, it certainly was. And it's not my one. Don't worry, I'm not giving away my console.
People are starting to question, where are you getting these, you know?
Yeah, there's been rumours that I've been breaking into places and taking cheeky people. Now, I've got a friend of mine who came into a bit of money recently, actually quite famous now, well, his brother is, and he's been very kind, and he's been donating the odd console here and there, and yeah, this is the next one. It's an N64 with a few games. I haven't got the list of games at hand, but
it's like nice little seven, giveaway, seven, I think, games, isn't it?
Yeah, which you won't find on any other podcast.
Yeah, that's it. We give away some great prizes.
We do, we do. So spread the word, and you never know, it could be you.
Right, so let me quickly tell everyone how they can win this. You can win this in three different ways. Now, first of all, you can leave us an iTunes review. If you leave us an iTunes review, it helps us get noticed, and that enters you into the competition. If you already have left us an iTunes review, you're already entered in the competition. The second way is, you can, throughout this episode, I'm going to play three songs, three music tracks. Now, what you need to do is guess what those music tracks are, and then basically email me at andy@retroasylum.com. And that's the second way you can do it. So you can enter it more than once. And the third way you can do it is like our Facebook page. So if you do all three, that's three opportunities you have of winning an N64. So please tell your friends, put it on Twitter, that there's a perfect opportunity to win an N64 and loads of games. So I think what we'll do now, we'll play one of those tracks now. And guys, guess what it is? If you guess what it is, guess all three of them. And then email me at andy@retroasylum.com. So let's move on to the next section, which is... We've got the hotline number. No one seems to be using that now.
Oh, that's terrible. I think we should remind people of what the number is.
Right, so yeah, Dean, what is that famous number?
Right, 0208-123-7086. That's 0208-123-7086. And use it, because we're providing a great service for you.
Yeah, and this hotline is not like it's, it doesn't cost a lot. And all it is, you phone up this number. There's a little question there that I've left. And you basically have to listen to it. Leave a reply about 2 minutes long or less. And we'll play it on the show. So guys, it would be, you know, really helpful if you guys can help us out with that.
Everybody, this is Buzzbot from Oddpod and the Freebies podcast. You're listening to the most greatest, funkiest retro gaming podcast in the world, Retro Asylum.
Okay, so let's move on to our next section, which is our reviews. Right, so do you want to go first with your review, buddy?
Yeah, I'll go first. It's a ZX Spectrum game, so I'm going back to the old school. It's Scooby and Scrappy Doo by High Tech Software. This was a budget release back in, I think it was 91, maybe a little bit earlier. $2.99, so yeah, it's a small budget game, but it's quite different really to other Spectrum platform games. A lot of them were... They felt very Spectrum-y, if you know what I mean. Like Jet Set Willy and Manic Miner, you know, all those sort of games, Monty Mole. They all had a very Spectrum feel when they was all flick screen and...
Yeah.
Yeah, do you get the vibe that I'm going for? Whereas this is much more based on Super Mario, I guess. You know, your Mario Brothers sort of scrolling platform game. What really lets it down, unfortunately, as great a game it is one, there's only four levels,
right,
and two, there is no music whatsoever on the Spectrum version.
Not even in 128K?
Not even in 128K mode. You don't even get 128K sound effects. It's strange because the game was also released on the Amstrad, which I've never played that version, but I have played the Commodore 64 version, and that had some title music, nothing to do with a Scooby-Doo cartoon. I'm guessing that was because of, you know, the music was licensed and they would have had to have paid out more money for that. But there's no in-game music even on the Commodore version. So you know, spot effects, you know, tip-tap for when he's Scrappy-Doo's walking, and there's a punch sound effect and a jump sound effect. So that's what really lets it down. And it's a shame because, you know, for a budget release, this was really rather playable. It's probably aimed at a younger audience to what I was, you know, my age bracket. But I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a great little game. But the lack of music really does let it down. Have you ever played it?
No, I've never played it, but I mean, I think I've seen screenshots of it. The graphics are really nice and detailed.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you reckon that's why it's got no music? Because the graphics are really nice, and it has it got scrolling at all?
No, it scrolls very nicely. Super, super smooth. No, I don't think it's because of the graphics or anything. I think it was because it was a budget release, and they probably just wanted to push it out as soon as they could. And maybe they just couldn't be bothered to take advantage of the 128K machine. Like I say, even the Commodore 64 version hasn't got in-game music, and these sort of games really do need some music.
Right, so how would you, what would you have scored this game back in the day, and how do you score it now?
Back in the day, it would have, out of five, it probably would have been a four.
Okay, wow, that's pretty good.
These days, you're probably looking at a three. It's still fairly playable, but without that music, you know, like Super Mario Brothers had and all those style of games on the consoles, you had the music, and obviously they had nice bright coloured graphics, where the ZX Spectrum version is monochrome, but the other two versions were done in nice colour. It's just, I don't know, you expect a nice little soundtrack for these sort of games, and I know that music only enhances a game, but in this case, you know, it really could have added a whole lot more to the game.
Yeah, it's a shame, but like you said, it's a budget thing. I'm definitely going to have to give it a
Give it a try. It's a nice little game. Give it a try.
Yep, okay. Now, the game I'm going to talk about, review, is World of Illusion, and it stars Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. It's one of the games that I've picked up again on my Sega Mega Drive. Now, I love this game. I love the original Castle of Illusion, and this is this sort of follow-up.
Yeah.
And it features, you know, both characters. It's a two-player game. Now, you can play it as a one-player game and have your own little adventure, but it is basically best played with two players, where you can both team up and help each other. There's bits where you sort of like lower down a rope and you pull each other up. There's a bit when you're in a minecart and you have to sort of jump up and down to make the minecart move. It's a beautiful platformer. Now, the downer is you haven't got the bottom bump, which made it feel fast-paced like Mario. This is basically you wander around this beautifully animated world and you use your it was like a cloth, magic sort of cloth, and you sort of like wave it in front of them to get rid of the enemies. So that really does slow it down a little bit, but again, I can't complain, because back then I remember the game being beautiful and looking like a Disney cartoon. It's so much better visually than Castle of Illusion. It does look like a Disney cartoon, and there's so many beautiful touches from other Disney cartoons. You've got the caterpillar in the background from Alice in Wonderland, and it's so amazing how they've done the graphics theme, because they've got the foreground, you've got the ground where the characters run around, and then you've got the background and parallax scrolling.
Yeah,
and it's a masterpiece.
I'll have to check it out. I don't even think I've seen it. I remember the game, but yeah, I've never seen this.
And I tell you what, the music on this game is out of this world. It is just, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And playing it again for a short time when I did buy it, it's just as good. It's aged amazingly. The only downer is, I think it's a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
It's not as tough as Castle of Illusion. This game, you can probably breeze through it within about less than half an hour.
Yeah.
But it's one heck of an experience. And incidentally, there is a sequel of such that's coming out on the PSP, on the Wii U, and the other sort of more modern consoles. It's called Mickey Mouse, The Power of Two, which is...
Yeah, I've seen this advertised.
And I can't wait, because I think it's taken from the Illusion series. It's inspired by those games, so I might have to try that game out.
Yeah, let us know what it's like. I'm definitely going to have to check this game out though, on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, let me score it first then. So originally, I would have scored it 5 out of 5, and I tell you what, it has not lost any spring in its step. It's still a 5 out of 5. I recommend it to everyone. And Dean, I recommend give this game a go. If not, pop round, play it. We can play it in two players. Bring it to the top badge.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Hello, everybody. This is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
All right, cool. So let's move on to our next section.
Yep, retro gaming shops.
Right, okay. So why don't you tell us then? All right, why don't we tell everyone what we're going to do with this, first of all?
Basically, we're going to give a shout out to two places that sell retro games on every main show, at least ones that we record. It's basically, there's a lot of shops out there that, you know, they're hidden. And mm-hmm. not everyone knows about them. So, yeah, it's just to give these shops a bit of a chance and you've got to support them, really.
Yeah. All right. So why don't you tell us the shop that you've picked and where it is and what sort of things does it have? Because you visited this one as well.
Yeah, this isn't the first time I've mentioned them on the show, but I'm going to give them another shout out because it's a nice little store. It's called Games to Replay and it's located just outside of Braintree. This store is located at Blake House Craft Centre near Braintree. I'll give the postcode a shout out in case anyone wants to drive past there. They're not open on Mondays, so don't bother going on a Monday. It's right. CM776SH and their phone number is 07851 450225. As far as I'm aware, they don't, you know, their website doesn't allow you to buy anything online as such. It's
right,
a it's a proper shop. You have to pop in there. But as always, it's always good to see these games physically. You can see what condition they're in. And they do some pretty good deals in there. They sell the consoles packaged up. You know, they've got a lot of cheap games. So well worth a visit.
Well, funny enough, you should say that. We've had two people that have mentioned that they've heard of that shop from us. We had Holly Cool, I think his name is.
Yep.
He went down there, and I think he mentioned to them as well that he heard us on the podcast, you know, about the show. And there was someone else recently that joined the forum that wanted to buy you a drink for mentioning the you know, the shop.
Yeah, it's strange because obviously this place, it's been there quite a while. You know, this isn't just like a new venture. It's been open quite a while, but not a lot of people seem to know about it, which is a shame because, you know, if enough people don't shop in there, they will end up going bust. So get down there, make it known that you've heard about them via us, and hopefully you'll find yourself a good deal.
Right, okay. So now it's time to move on to the shop that I'm going to mention. It's a bit of a mixture, this one. I think it does sell some modern stuff, but yeah, it's got quite a lot of retro stuff as well. It's called M&M Games. You can also find their website, which is www.mamgames.co.uk, and this is basically based in Croydon. Now Croydon is down south, so just outside of London, and it's not too difficult to get to, and I'm sure it's just in the town centre. And I recommend that everyone check the shop out again, because it's a great idea to support all these wonderful places that carry on selling these retro games, because like Swainy said, it's so nice to actually been able to sort of pick them up rather than just look at a picture on eBay, you know.
Definitely, definitely. And this store, they have actually got a YouTube channel. I can't remember the name of the channel, unfortunately. But they do these videos where basically when they get, you know, some new stock in, retro mm-hmm. stuff, they'll put it on the video and that way you can see it on there as well. So you can buy their stuff online, but at least you get to see it shown on the video. You know, you can get an idea of what condition whatever game you're interested in is in. So that's another interesting aspect of it. And yeah, it just looks like a very nice shop.
Well, you mentioned the YouTube. It is basically, if you type in the M and M Games. So type in the M and M Games on YouTube and you'll find them. So, you know, subscribe, give them a call, check out the shop if you're local, and once again, let them know that you heard them through us, basically, and help support their shop. Right, I think now it's time for another of those music tracks where you've got to try and guess what it is. I've got one more coming out after this, and like I said, to win the N64, one of the ways is just email me at andy@retroasylum.com. Right, So what's the next section then, Sweeney?
Remake of the week.
All right, I'll let you lead this one, mate. Go on, take it over.
Okay, this remake is basically a PC version of the arcade game Scramble. You've played Scramble, haven't you?
Yeah, it's one of your favourite games.
It's one of my favourite games. Yep, there's a great version on the Vectrex. Mm-hmm. And this is a lovely remake. I've only had a couple of goes of it this morning, but it plays just like the arcade, basically. And nice full screen. I think the graphics have been blown up a bit. They're the original graphics, but it's all been smoothed out, so it's not all pixely. Yeah, great little remake. Just anyone who's a fan of those kind of games, the old shooters, download this. We'll put a link on the page because I'm not going to try and read that out. It's just quite long. But great little game. And anyone with a PC, give it a whirl.
So, I mean, before we sort of round this bit up then, what was it that made Scramble such an appealing game to you? And what
I would say, it's not just shooting the bad guys. You have to bomb the fuel canisters down at the bottom of the screen. So basically it's not just a shoot 'em up where you're just trying to get the aliens. Your ship is constantly using fuel.
Yeah.
You need to refuel by bombing the gas canisters on the bottom of the screen. It just adds something to the gameplay, whereas most shooters that came after that didn't use that concept of having to refuel, and it just adds a little bit more to the gameplay, just makes it a little bit more exciting and intense to play.
And like Dean said, what we'll do, we'll stick a link on the show notes on the actual podcast and on the site as well.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into Retro Asylum Podcast.
Move on to our next section, which is WTF.
So what game have you chosen this week, Andy?
Well, I haven't chosen one yet, Dean, so I think I'll let you talk about your one while I think of one to choose.
Okay, right. Well, I've picked Shinobi on the Amiga. It's just a very, very poor conversion. Shinobi is a great playable game on the arcade, and it received fairly good conversions on the 8-bit systems. The Master System version is, to me, a bit more playable than the arcade in a way, because you had the energy bar and it's just slightly different. Really worked well. Somehow the Amiga version ends up with less animation frames than the ZX Spectrum version.
Really?
The music is worse somehow. They've tried sampling the arcade's music, but they've done it on this dodgy loop, and it just seems like very bad quality. It's just awful. There's some very nasty, bland colours being used. The scrolling is jerky. You've got to take a look for yourself, even if you just go onto YouTube, type in Shinobi Amiga, and just prepare to be quite horrified at the state of this game. The title screen on the arcade, you've got the ninja's head, looks fairly human-like, it's a fairly decent picture. Whoever redrew this version for the Amiga has made the ninja look more like an alien. He just looks deformed. Compared to the 8-bit versions, I mean, the Spectrum version wasn't the greatest looking game, but the Commodore 64 version was playable, it just lacked the music. The Amstrad version was pretty good, and I've not played the ST version. I think the ST version will have the same sound as the Amstrad and Spectrum.
It's a real shame, though, because the other versions, like you said, they weren't bad games. They played pretty well.
Yeah.
And you would have expected the 16-bit version to have that more of a polish.
Even if it wasn't arcade perfect, it should have had a lot more polish. And this version, I don't know, it just seems very rushed and it just looks nasty. There's not much else I can really say about it. You need to see it running. You'll see the scrolling, especially on the later levels, looks very jerky. It's just badly drawn. Yeah, it's the scrolling that's jerky. The graphics are just very crude. The sound has been sampled badly and it's looped badly. It's just awful. I'm sure it's still fairly playable because it was based on such a great game. The gameplay is still there.
Yeah.
But it's just like one frame of animation for when you shoot an enemy. you know, they used to shrivel up on the Spectrum version. And they're animated on the 8-bit versions. On this, it's just one frame of animation, then they disappear. It just looks like an horrific pull.
So what do you reckon it is? Do you reckon it was just a rush job? The programmers and everyone else involved got given a certain amount of time. The game probably wasn't complete and then just rushed out, or just...
I think because it was coded by Binary Design, they only ever seemed to have one guy who could actually code on the 16-bit systems, and that was Richard Alpin, or whatever his name was. I don't think he was too involved with this. He was doing the Amstrad version, so he probably advised the coders.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, you know, whoever was coding it, I just don't think they had got to grips with the machine at that point. It's a fairly early arcade conversion for the Amiga, I guess. And, yeah, it just looks like they didn't know what they were doing.
Ah, it's a shame, because the arcade was such a classic game.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll move on to my WTF. Now, I've sort of stolen Dean's sort of WTF that he originally was going to do, but I'm going to choose Shaq Fu on the Mega Drive.
Ooh, nasty game. The Amiga version's worse, though.
Is it? Okay, well, maybe if I run out of horrible things to say about the Mega Drive, you can talk about the Amiga version. But Shaq Fu, it's basically based on the basketball player. And for some reason, he's goes on this quest where he has to fight against loads of baddies. He's on a sort of mission, basically. And it's the most unplayable beat-em-up ever. I mean, statically, it doesn't look too bad. The moment it starts moving and the moves, it just doesn't work. And getting Shaq in a beat-em-up game just doesn't work at all. It's a waste of a license, in my opinion.
It's a load of Shaq.
Didn't that say on the box up? A load of Shaq.
And I think the biggest disappointment for me with this game was that it was by Delphine Software.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd done Flashback and Another World, and you're just expecting something pretty good. And then as soon as it starts moving, it's, especially on the Amiga, it's the frame rate wasn't great.
Yeah.
I remember getting it on the Amiga, loading it up, I think I played one or two rounds and I put it back in the box and took it back to the shop where I bought it from.
Really?
I couldn't play. It was just horrible. It was a horrible game. It looks a bit nicer on the consoles, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, on the Mega Drive, I'll be honest with you, Dean, like it's not like my brother-in-law, look, my daughter's uncle, basically, I used to hang out with him when I was younger, and he had a Mega Drive as well, and he had this game. He had quite a few games. He had Mortal Kombat, and he also had Shaq Fu. And for some reason, he loved Shaq Fu. I didn't see the attention of it. It had no playability. It really was sort of like press buttons here. There was no skill to it. It really played like an early 8-bit sort of like beat 'em up, but not as good. You know,
yeah.
Exploding Fist is better. Barbarian's better.
Yeah, it's very erratic, I felt. You know, it was just, I don't know. It was a proper button basher, but there was no tactics to it. It's just a load of rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, there was other games on the Mega Drive, like Street Smart, which was a button masher, and I thought that played a lot better than, say, Shaq Fu. And Shaq Fu, like I said, the biggest thing that let me down was the license, because how much money would they have spent to get someone like Shaq on there?
It must have been a fair bit. There was quite a bit of promotion work going on as well. Who published it? Can you remember?
No idea. But yes, it's one to avoid, or you can probably play out an emulation and check it out and see how bad it is, actually.
Yeah, if you're having a bad day and you want to make it worse.
Yeah. All right, what we're going to do now, we're going to play the last music track of How You Can Win the N64. Have a little listen, and again, if you know what it is, email me at andy@retroasylum.com.
Thank you.
on to our next section, Dean, which is...
Next section is Name the Game.
Ah, right. Okay. Now, this is one of my favorite sections of the whole podcast. Now, last time, Dean basically thought of a game that I couldn't guess. So I think you're ahead of me by 1 point. Now, for our listeners who've never heard this podcast before, doesn't know how this works, is we each think of a game. We take turns. We can only answer in yes or no while we ask the other person questions, basically. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Sort of, ish, in a confused kind of way.
It does. I'm going to be confused when I try and guess your game then. So have you thought of a game?
I have.
Right, so let me see if I can guess that game. Is it an arcade game?
It's an arcade style game, but not on the arcade.
Right. Is it on the Amiga?
No.
Is it on the 8-bit computers?
It is.
Right. Is it a shoot 'em up?
Yes.
A shoot 'em up that wasn't in the arcades. Wow, okay. Was it a budget game?
No.
Was it a full price game then?
It was a full price game at the time. It's quite an early release.
Right, okay. So I really hope our listeners can shout out some answers at me, because I haven't got a clue what it is so far.
Right, do you want some clues?
No, not yet. I'm going to try. Was it done by Ocean?
No.
Full price. Who else did full price games? I can't remember who did full price games on the 8-bit computers.
Like I say, it's a fairly early release, but it was...
Okay.
I'm going to give you a clue. It was a very, very big hit and probably changed the way we looked at the Spectrum at the time.
Okay. Is it Thanatos?
No.
Oh, man, because that's the game with the dragon. That's what I thought it might be, because it is like a shoot-em-up of such... All right, is it like a scrolling shoot-em-up, like R-Type?
No.
Is it like a 3D shoot-em-up?
No.
Okay, so I was thinking it could be something like Elites, sort of. So it's not like a side-scrolling shoot-em-up like R-Type then?
No. I'll give you a really big clue.
Right, go for it.
I guess it is quite a hard one. The character... also appeared on a game on the NES.
The character also appeared on a game on the NES?
Yep. But he started life on the ZX Spectrum.
Wow. I have no...
I'll give you another clue. I'm trying to help you out here. He also had a comic strip in a certain ZX Spectrum magazine.
Oh, Solar Jetman or Lunar Jetman.
Well, it's Jetpack, but...
Jetpack?
Yeah.
You gave it away. I had completely the wrong different series there. Jetpack, yeah, I know, by Rare.
Yeah.
Go on then, name the game, Dean.
Okay. Did it appear on the 16-bit consoles?
No.
Did it appear on the 8-bit computer systems?
Yes.
Is it a platform game?
Sort of. That's me giving you a clue.
That's not very good.
Well, ask more questions.
Okay. Is it a licensed game?
Yeah. No, well, what do you mean by license? Like, what, an arcade conversion or like a license from a movie sort of thing?
Yeah, or a cartoon series.
No, it's not like a cartoon license or anything, but it's an arcade conversion.
Okay.
Or an arcade game is what I'm going for. I've given you a clue that it's an arcade game.
So, is it an arcade conversion?
Well, there were arcade conversions.
But it's not an official one.
No, there was. I mean, you can guess the... arcade conversion or the arcade game. It's the same name of the game anyway, so...
Was the arcade version by Capcom?
No.
Was it by Taito?
No.
Sega?
Yeah.
Wonderboy?
No. Do you want a clue?
Yes, please.
I'll give you a nice clue. In the arcade, it was four players. On the Master System, it was two players. And on the 8-bits, it was two players as well.
And it was a platform game?
Sort of.
Sort of.
So there's another little hit extra genre in there.
I should be getting this. You've more or less told me all I need to know, but I can't think of whatever it is at all.
Right. Let me give you another bit of a clue as well. It's got shooting elements in it as well. So guys, yeah, if you're listening to this, see if you can guess the game before Dean does.
I'm thinking rubbish. I bet everyone's shouting out. Four players. It was only two players on the Sega Master System and 8-bit computers.
Yeah.
Alright,
I'll give you another clue.
It's by Sega.
Yeah. Now, it was a bit controversial because why Sega changed some of the characters. There was a character on the Master System called Edgar, and on the there was another character called Mary. Now, Edgar on the arcade game was a black guy, but on the Master System, he miraculously became white. So that is a big clue.
I have no idea. How can I not know this? That is my era. Well, I'm guessing.
It's got a beautiful soundtrack as well. It's really underrated, but it's some of my favourite music, especially the Master System. In many ways, the Master System has better music than the, you know, the arcade game.
Oh my God, how can I not get this? Oh, this is going to be embarrassing.
All right, I'll give you... Do you want another little clue?
Yeah, please.
From time to time, you have to find keys to open up doors which look like elevator things, and occasionally you get little jetpacks that you fly around in.
Wasn't Quartet or whatever it's called?
Correct! Yay! Well done. I think that was a big giveaway. I bet you Googled it.
No, I promise you I didn't. I've never ever played that game. Was it released on the Spectrum?
Yes, released on the Spectrum.
I'll have to check it out, and on the Master System. I've never ever played it.
Is the best version. On the Master System, if you press pause 14 times on the Master System, you start off with better weapons. And trust
you must know this game inside out.
Oh, yeah, I used to play it non-stop.
I've never, ever played it. I will give it a go because, yeah, I don't know why. It's one of those games that passed me by.
All right, so next up, guys, is our next section, which is music from the past. Now, the way this works is you pop over to our forum, the Retro Asylum forum. There's a little section in Site and Podcast stuff. Look for it there. And you just basically tell us a soundtrack from a game that you used to love. Tell us a little bit about why you like it so much. And we'll basically play it on the show. And at the end, Dean will do a little dance to describe the music track. So, guys, enjoy. Oh, I need to tell you what track it is first, don't I?
Would help.
What song is it, Dean?
It is the intro tune to Turrican, Turrican 2.
And that's on the Amiga.
Yes.
All right, enjoy the music, guys. We'll be right back.
Right, I'm just getting into it because it's a bit of the German techno. It's got a bit of a build-up.
Yeah.
I'm tapping my foot. Quite jolly stuff, you know. I'm like doing a running man at the moment.
The running man. Oh, that's a move that's just died off.
Yeah.
So what do you think of it then, as a music track then, Dean?
It's not bad. It's not the one I was thinking of.
Really?
Yeah, there's one that's based on the Transformers movie, isn't there?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Series. Is that Turrican 1 or...?
I think it was Turrican 1, actually.
In-game music, I can't remember.
Yeah, but this is still a little good track.
I
really enjoyed that.
Well, it gets a bit funky.
You know what, guys? I cannot wait till we do a live podcast because Dean will actually do his little dance.
Yeah, it's going to be the most embarrassing dance ever. My daughter will never speak to me again.
All right, so guys, hopefully you've enjoyed that little soundtrack, which was which was chosen by Hollycool. It was from Turrican on the Amiga, and yeah, nicely danced by Dean.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our next section then. Which is what, Dean? Let's have a look. We're all over the place today.
We are, as always. Right, it's a hidden gem.
Right, now, hidden gems. Mine is so hidden, I don't know where it is. So, I think, you know what? Yeah, go on, you think of one first of all, mate.
I've got one. It's a good one.
Right, okay, go for it, buddy.
It is Rex on the ZX Spectrum. You ever played this?
Little dinosaur type thing, perhaps?
Yeah, little rhino, humanoid rhino thing.
Okay.
It looks a lot like Cybernoid, but the graphics are slightly smaller, a lot more detailed and better animated.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those games. You were asking me the other day about ZX Spectrum games with colour. Is it a good thing, bad thing? This is a prime example. If done right, they look fantastic. And this game, there's no colour clash whatsoever. It's like a platformy shoot-em-up where you've got a... There's a bit of strategy involved, I guess. Basically, the gist of the game is that this Rex character, the planet that he lives on, mm-hmm. they've made a massive antenna that is leaking out bad stuff, basically. You know, it's messing the environment up and whatever.
Right.
On side A of the tape, there's one level.
Mm-hmm.
And on side two, it's the antenna level where you've got to climb up to this massive antenna and blow it up at the end. The graphics are very, very detailed. Like I say, it looks a bit like Cybernoid, but it's like shootable rock walls where you've got to like penetrate through those and get to certain sections on each screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's some nicely detailed, they're like conveyor belts with trains running along them with guys in the background, you know, they're shooting at you. It's just a fantastic game.
Who was it made by, Dean?
I think it was published by Martek. I'm not too sure who programmed it. And as far as I'm aware, it was never released on anything else other than the ZX Spectrum. And it was, I think it was a 1988 or 89 release, which, so it's quite rare for that time for, you know, a game just to be released on the ZX Spectrum, especially as it was a full price release. Mm-hmm. But it's a fantastic game. A lot of Spectrum owners will know the game straight away, but those who are not familiar with the ZX Spectrum, please, even if you just go on YouTube, type in Rex ZX Spectrum, have a look at the game. It looks superb. It plays really well. It's a really hard game, but very atmospheric with the greatest little detailed graphics. A bit like Lemmings in a way, the way some of these sprites move.
Right,
but,
okay.
It doesn't play like Lemmings, by the way. It's just, you know, the way the characters are animated.
Am I thinking it plays a little bit like Rick Dangerous or...?
Not really, no. It's probably closer to Cybernoid. It is more or less just a shoot-em-up, but you are jumping around from certain platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you pulled down, you had like a shield which was like a bubble around
all
you.
Right.
And you could be a bit kamikaze with those. You could run into the enemies. If you had your shield up, you know, the enemies would explode. Very hard game. Only two levels, side A and side B of the tape. You know, two different
but
levels.
But is it a big game then, I take it?
It's fairly big, yeah. It was tough. Tough. Very tough game.
All right, I think that's one I'll definitely check out because I love my Spectrum games and I'm always on the lookout for ones that I haven't played before. I have heard of it and I'll definitely give it a go once we finish recording the podcast. My hidden gem, Dean, is for the Master System. Now, the Master System is, I think, a console that you didn't have much interaction with, was it?
No, not until recently. I've got the adapter for the Mega Drive, so I've been buying a few Master System games here and there. Very nice, I've got to say, I'm quite impressed with them.
Great, great, great little machine. I think at one point, me and you, we will do a podcast further down the line doing like our favourite Master System games,
yeah, absolutely,
or games that you must have.
So for now, one system, I think, which needs a good look at.
Definitely, definitely. Now, the game I'm going to talk about today is Spellcaster. I cannot remember who made it, but it is one of my favourite games ever, Dean. To this day, I mean, I gave my my original Master System away to Guru Larry. I regret doing it now, but you know what? I will eventually get another one.
I'll bet you don't. Yeah. I've got to admit, I've never heard of this game, so what's it about?
It's brilliant. Basically, you play like this sort of like monk. It's like a mystical sort of game. It's got different sort of genres. It's got like a bit of point and click, it's got a bit of an RPG, it's got a bit of a platform, sort of, you can shoot things. Now you play this little guy, to begin off with, you run from the left of the screen to the right of the screen, you hold the button to shoot like this fireball, sort of like Street Fighter, to kill the enemies die, you collect little energy sort of bars, well, energy things that power you up, and if you hold the fire button, just like in R-Type, you let off like a big sort of power shot. But you go on a quest, basically. You arrive in this little town, and everyone in this town's been killed. And you've got to try and figure out who it was who killed these people. And that's when it goes into a point-and-click mode. So you just guide this finger around this static screen, and you select things and look for clues. And then bit by bit, you start piecing the clues, and then you have to return home to your temple where there's this, like, your master's there, and he sends you on quests. And I tell you what, it is so damn addictive. It really is, Dean. Everyone I've spoken to this game has never really heard of it. There is a sequel of such on the Mega Drive, which I think they changed the story a little bit. It's called Mystical Defender on the Mega Drive, which I didn't think was quite as good. But Spellcaster, Dean, I highly recommend it. If you see it on eBay, pick it up because it's definitely worth it.
So this is two Master System games you've talked me into getting now.
it's a great system, mate. You know, it's one of the best machines ever.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, it's kind of underrated because I think it didn't do as well, obviously, in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a forgotten system for a lot of people. It done very well over here. I've got to admit, this isn't a game I've heard of, but I'll certainly be checking it out. It sounds good.
Check it out on YouTube. Like I said, it's a mixture of gameplays, it's a story, it's not like an over-the-top RPG. Certain sections will get you stumped. I mean, for years, Dean, I was stuck on a level, no word of a lie, for about, okay, the game must have come out in 1987. Up until about 4 years ago, I did not know how to get past a certain part. And then I was all stuck there, me and my nephew and my cousin, we couldn't get past that. And then I Googled it, and then it was just one little thing that I hadn't thought of, and I got past that level finally, and it was just amazing seeing that after all these years.
It does sound good.
So let's move on to our next section then, Dean, which is a new section we've called Versus. Now, what Versus is, Dean's going to think of a game, I'm going to play a game, well, I want to talk about a game as well, and we're going to compare them and see which game is better. Take in mind, though, that both these games do vary from the year they came out of, so we have to respect that. You know, just because a game does sound better doesn't necessarily mean it is a better game. So the games we're going to talk about today is my favourite scrolling beat-em-up ever, Streets of Rage 2. And Dean, what are you going to sort of compete with?
It can only be one. Double Dragon.
Hey, Double Dragon. Right, so why do you think Double Dragon is a better game better than Streets of Rage 2?
Because Streets of Rage 2 is just a rehash of Final Fight. It's got exactly the same gameplay mechanics. You know, smash up bins, pick up garbage, rubbish, and that somehow makes you better? I don't think so.
Go on. Yeah,
it feels very... To me, Streets of Rage 2 is overrated, and Double Dragon, it was the first of its kind. It had the interactive backgrounds. I'm just going over old ground here.
Yeah, definitely.
But to me, it had a great, great soundtrack. It had one of the best end features in a game ever, where you had to battle your co-player, if there was one. And to me, it's just never been beaten, even by sequels. You know, the sequels of Double Dragon are fairly lame, really.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Dean. I love Double Dragon. I think Double Dragon is probably my number two favourite beat-em-up ever, scrolling beat-em-up, because I like the look of the game, I like the music of the game, I like the level design. But, again, it sounds like a bit of a cheap shot. It's over and done with, just like that, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't take too long to play. I guess you can get through it in about 20 minutes. How long does Streets of Rage 2 take?
You can probably play that, you know, depending on how good you are, I'd say about, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes. It's a pretty long game. Some of the later levels get really tough. Now, let me tell everyone why I like this game over Double Dragon. Now, guys, I want you to sort of, like, pop this on the comment section, whether you agree with me or agree with Dean, or both of us, really. I think it evolved. Okay, fair enough, it's slightly cheating, but it improved the scrolling beat-em-up genre. It wasn't just like Double Dragon, it wasn't just like Final Fight. You had a choice of three characters, well, I guess like in Final Fight, but you had your special moves. You know, like Axel, if you press that certain button, he would do that sort of like punch that spun around. If you pressed it a little bit longer, I think, you did that sort of like flying uppercut move.
Yeah, but don't you think that was just like basically how Golden Axe works? Apart from you had to collect your potions.
It was. I mean, it was an evolution of that, but I think it was done with such style, Dean. I mean, obviously, this game, Streets of Rage 2, was inspired quite a lot by Street Fighter 2, actually, because the moves, like, you know, like the flying uppercut, you know, the fireball type thing, even some of the bosses are very similar. There's one that looks like Blanka. But what I like about this game, Dean, is its overall presentation. The graphics are out of this world. To this day, they look so beautiful. It's like a neon. The first level is just so neon, with the lights flashing here and there, and it really sets a tone for, you know, an already great beat-em-up.
I don't know. So I'm going to disagree there. I don't think the graphics are that great. I think they're very overrated, and the animation is quite stiff on them. I don't, it just didn't click with me. Sometimes a game clicks with someone, and yeah, especially with a favourite game, which Double Dragon is of mine, and I don't know, it just seemed to, you know, the animation, there was just, you could, in two player, you know, you can full Nelson other guys, and the other guy, you know, the other player can then whip the other bloke, and it was just things like that, which...
Is that what you liked about it? Whipping the other bloke?
Whipping other men, yeah, lovely. Now, there's just certain things that I feel should have been built on, and a lot of these games that came after didn't. They missed the opportunity. It's like with the backgrounds, you know, with Double Dragon, if there was a fence, you could climb it. If there was a ladder, you could climb it. If there was a platform, you could jump off of it. The, you know, like boulders or oil drums or boxes or knives, what, it's all interactive. Whereas with Streets of Rage, if there's a dustbin there, do you pick it up and use it on someone? No, you smash it and then eat out of it. It just, I don't know. And you know, the special moves. I understand games have to have special moves to make them more fun and all that, but with a scrolling beat-em-up, I prefer it where it's a little bit more realistic. All these flames coming out of guys' hands and all that, I think they're all right for your Street Fighter games, which, no, they've always had that in the series. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm comparing Streets of Rage 2 as if it is a sequel to Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Maybe I am. And that's where the sequels of Double Dragon let me down, because it all went a bit mystic. You know, on Double Dragon 2, you ended up fighting ghosts that shot lasers out their eyes. Whereas the first game, I've said this before, it was sort of realistic in in a way. You know, it was cartoon violence, but it was kind of realistic. You couldn't do anything too
realistic
miraculous.
That you had a greener Bobo in one section.
Well, okay, so he will. he likes a bit of makeup. Obviously, it isn't a super realistic game. You've got guys smashing through walls and all that, but as far as the fantasy of shooting lasers or having flames coming out your fist or foot and all that, I don't know, it just, to me, it doesn't really work. I'd say the game I prefer compared to Streets of Rage 2, and to me it doesn't get enough recognition, is Vendetta on the arcade.
I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
That is another great game, and that's got some very some great comedy elements to it. You know, the way you can stuff a bucket on a guy's head and then knock him in the nuts, and you know, when you swing him with the bat with a spike.
You know what, I think that is, Dean, because I think that does feel more like a spiritual successor to the Double Dragon games. This one, I don't think,
to me,
this one,
if that had been converted to the home systems, I think that would be more fondly remembered than Streets of Rage 2 is.
No, I've got to completely disagree. Because,
you reckon?
Yeah, not only is the gameplay amazing, you know, you've got the different sections where you're walking diagonally.
Don't tell me about that techno music, because I don't want to hear it.
The music is amazing. Honestly, that techno music, it's fantastic.
I can't stand that German kind of techno music. Right. I know it's by a Japanese guy who's, you know.
He's superb. He did the music for, say, like Revenge of Shinobi. Really, I can't remember what his name is, but he'd done some of the
greatest. I'm going to get a lot
ever.
Of stick over this, but I'm not a fan of the music.
Right, because that was going to be my next argument.
Yeah.
Now, on Double Dragon, you've got about, what, five or six different soundtracks. On this, I was listening to the soundtrack on the way back home from South London today, and oh my God, it is unbelievable.
You're doing a German dance at the same time.
I was doing a little German dance.
Too unlimited. No, I don't know, I just...
It's
going to have more music in it, because obviously it had more levels. Double Dragon only had four or five levels, so there's a soundtrack, you know, and the boss's music and music.
But it achieved a lot, Dean, graphically, for what the Mega Drive could do.
Yeah,
I think it was a major accomplishment.
I think it was a very competent game. It was very good, but I do think it's overrated. I really do, because I think Final Fight is a better game.
No. See, Final Fight, as much as I like it, I've played it recently, you know, well, I say recently, a few months ago, quite a bit, and I found myself getting boring. I found myself that it was only the first two, three levels that I actually liked.
See, I found that with Streets of Rage 2, though. There's too many enemies. It just gets repetitive.
I thought there was enough variety, Dean. I thought there was enough variety, different sections. One of my favourite levels is that sort of pirate ship level or whatever it was. And then you've got that sort of weird alien Geigery type level with that fogging effect. And you've got that music. I think it was called Alien Something Music, which I'll probably be putting on the background now. And that music is just... It's something that is so different to normal music.
Nah.
There's nothing quite like it, and I think
we're going to have to agree to disagree. I mean, you're talking about the music, and the game wasn't much cop, but the new version of Double Dragon, the music on it was superb. Play that against whatever you're playing with your Streets of Rage 2, and we'll see how it compares.
Okay, the argument's still not over yet. Okay, now, the evolution, okay, I think it was a perfect evolution from the first Streets of Rage game. The first Streets of Rage game, I thought, was a Double Dragon sort of rip-off, really, but this improved on it so much that
they're Final Fight clones. The mechanics of the game is totally different.
Yeah, but when you think about the first game, though, Dean, the first game was just like an average scrolling beat-em-up. But yeah, it had decent music, the graphics were all right. But the second one really ups it and really showed what the Mega Drive could do. And I think that really is probably one of the best Mega Drive games ever. And I think Double Dragon is just too short. There's not enough moves, not enough variety. Maybe it's nostalgia for you, Dean?
No, I don't think so. You've got to remember, Streets of Rage 2, what year was it released in?
Probably about 92, 93.
So it came 5 or 6 years after the original Double Dragon. What, you know, there wasn't an arcade game. So obviously it's made for a home release, so it's got to be a bit more value for money, as in, you know, it's going to be longer. Whether it's an actual, if it plays better, I disagree. I don't think it does. It is a longer game, and you know, it should really look a lot better because it came a few years after. Okay, it's on a home system, but it's on a fairly quick. Yeah, the home portable Dragon, even the Sega Mega Drive version, which some people say is really rubbish, others say it's an improvement on the arcade because, you know, it's probably got... The graphics were slightly different and there's no slowdown.
Yeah.
I'd like to see... I think that they do get compared a lot to each other, but if there had been an arcade version of Streets of Rage, that's what I would have compared Double Dragon to. You know, I'm sure
it did actually in one of those Mega Drive thingy collections.
Yeah, but that's only the Mega Drive version on the arcade. It wasn't originally intended to be played on the arcade. Do you see what I'm saying? It's aimed for a different audience, kind of. You know, it's I don't know. It's Streets of Rage 2. It's an okay game. Personally, I prefer. Final Fight, that's the game it seems to be inspired by the most. I wouldn't say it's inspired by Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Not that that's what we're saying, you know, we're trying to say what is the better game. For me, it is Double Dragon. I've always said I'd like to, you know, bring that franchise back and bring it back the way I feel it should play.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would trump all over Streets of Rage.
I don't know. I mean, that remake, that Streets of Rage remake, that was...
That was very good. I've got to say, I prefer the remake.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, obviously, because it's more modern stuff, more characters, unlockable things. It was a great game. For me, that is the ultimate scrolling beat-em-up, bar none. You know, obviously, I respect Double Dragon, I respect games like Target Renegade, but for me, it's just... I think it was nearly perfection. But I think you're right. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I was going to say, maybe if I'd had a Mega Drive and I played it back in the day when it was released and I'd really got into it. I mean, I did play it, but, you know, it was my friend's Mega Drive. I didn't play it as much as I would have done.
Yeah.
If it, you know, if I'd owned the system, maybe then I could see where you're coming from. But to me, it's just a bit of a rip-off of Final Fight and it just didn't seem to be as good.
So you're saying you like Double Dragon because it was original and nothing had been done before like that?
It was original and nothing, you know, it hadn't been done like that, but it wasn't just that. To me, it's never really been bettered, and a lot of the elements that made the gameplay have never been improved on. They've not even used those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always saying it, interactive backgrounds. There isn't really many other... beat-em-ups that used interactive backgrounds in that way that first game did.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame. It really did add to it, I thought, but...
Right, so maybe
just old-fashioned.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, basically, I think we've both put up some decent arguments there of which we think is the better game.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, me and Dean and whoever else we record with will do like a little versus section because, you know, there is no right or wrong answer.
And that's right, you know. Yeah, we won't be covering Double Dragon. I know I probably do go on about it too much. So we'll find some other games to challenge against.
Well, I'm hoping anyway that next time we do record that we'll have another Quizmaster, but we'll be testing you.
I thought you was going to play that today. I thought you sent me the show notes, and I thought this is a fraud. He's going to try and trick me.
Nah, we needed to sort of schedule in a full show.
Yeah.
And we've rounded that section. Like I said, guys, please give us your feedback. Let us know your points of view, whether you think Double Dragon's better, whether Streets of Rage 2 is better, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, and just let them know whether you thought we brought up some valid points. And it's, like I said, it's something we will be doing. Right, so I think we should start rounding the show up. So let's move on to one of the sections we normally do, which is the iTunes reviews. And we've got quite a few now. I think we've got 58 in total.
Cool.
Go for it, buddy.
Right, this is by Dodswim. Well, I don't know how that's pronounced.
Okay.
Okay, it says, retro is the future. The Replay Expo fired up the retro in me. So thought I'd check out your podcast. Loving it so far. Good work. And that's 5 stars.
Right, so we've got another five-star review by Lee Harvey. It's Retro Collection. This was a great listen, especially for someone who's been a gamer for as long as I can remember. I've not seen my Mega Drive for a few years, and I have not seen my Mega Drive for a few years and had now scoured my loft so I can relive... Oh, what's wrong with me? So I can relive them awesome memories.
Right, okay, this one's from Mukbush. And, oh, having just spent 2 weeks signed off, this podcast helped me through. Everything is covered here. Really love the interspaced music, tracks from classic games that I play, name that tune along with. Oh, there's more. This is longer than what I thought it was. This is now my number one source for all retro goodness. The fact that this is free is just even better. Keep up the good work, guys. Please never stop.
Well, definitely try not to. Right, so the next one is another five-star iTunes review by Retro101UK. He put, Glorious Retrobates, the podcast of the retro gaming community trusts and needs. Great knowledge from the host and a focus on machine of all ages, not just consoles, makes this one of the best of its types.
Right, this one's from Matty R64. Says, brilliant stuff, always a great listen. I was looking for some kind of retro gaming based podcast to listen to on my 1 hour plus commute to and from work. And after trying tons of different ones, this is my favourite. What we have here in the Retro Asylum is right up my street. A good group of normal lads talking enthusiastically about a pastime that they love. Each of the main presenters are instantly recognisable characters. I've met all their equivalents and, blimey, I'm losing my place here. This is life. And I guarantee you will have too. The episodes consist of a wide variety of different topics, from arcade games to obscure Spectrum classics, new remakes, game music and gaming conventions. They feature various guest sections and interviews with industry legends and plenty of personal anecdotes. If you're into retro gaming, If you're into retro gaming, I can't recommend it enough. Cheers for the effort, guys. I've listened my way through the first 12 episodes and they've made my trips to and from work a damn sight better. We'll keep listening until I catch up on the most recent and then I'll get posting on the site. That's a lovely review. It's very long.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, you can tell he's definitely liking
it. Yeah, that's good.
Now, the next one is by Mogs79, another five-star review. It says, great podcast, my favorite retro podcast, great banter, and the hosts work well together. Love the latest quiz. Luckily enough to be able to listen to it all at work. The only downside is now I wish I'd kept all my retro game and consoles. Any chance, if you haven't at all, to do a feature on the Atari ST? Thanks. Keep up the good work. And that's something we will do somewhere down the line, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's a system we've kind of skipped so far. Mm. I didn't own one, but I had a friend who did, so we will get to that point somewhere down the line. Right, the last one is by CU Spaceboy Cowboy. It says, mm-hmm. A very nice podcast. I think this has just come in today. Listening to two guys talking about Amiga racing games while I play Final Fantasy VI, Retro Heaven. They give a UK perspective to the retro game scene. Loads of great memories rekindled. Brilliant. And that, of course, is talking about Matt and Darren's podcast. And I want to say, well done, guys. It was very, very good indeed.
Yep, I really enjoyed that as well. So, yeah. Now, speaking about Matt and Darren, they will be part of our podcast a lot more now. You know, they'll be helping us out. Ooh, what was that?
That was my phone.
Ooh, okay.
Sweet Vibrations. Just a load of emails.
Right, yeah. So speaking about Matt and Darren, they will be part of our show a lot more. They'll be helping us out whenever me, Dean, and Glenn can't actually do the show. Obviously, you know that Dean's going to be a dad, so am I. So our time will be taken up a lot more. So what we decided to do was get a few more retro gaming hosts that will keep the show going on a weekly basis, and we'll hopefully provide, you know, more weekly to week stuff. Oh, another thank you I'd like to say is this month's podcast is sponsored by Darren, our forum moderator. Now, previous month was sponsored by Damien, so thank you very much for Damien. Next month has already been paid for by two of our forum members. I'll give them a shout out on the next podcast once I remember who it was who left me the sponsored things. So yeah, any thank yous or anything you'd like to say, Dean?
Big thank you to all the community, especially to Darren, you know, for coughing up with that money. That was very, very generous, and obviously it helps you out more than anyone, because financially I don't get involved, so I'm tired.
Yeah. I've been doing it for ages.
If I had the money, I would.
No, I know, mate.
And yeah, obviously a big thank you to Matt and Darren for hosting the previous show. Very entertaining, and I look forward to hearing the next one by them too.
Right. Also, I want to give another big shout out to Damien, actually, because he's been working on our new site behind the scenes, and it is looking really, really nice.
Is it looking really, really good?
It is, mate. It's looking
I think you should thank the great designer you got in for that one.
The great designer is my podcast co-host, Dean Swain.
Thank you very much.
That's why I can't wait to redo the live podcast.
Taking time to do that, and because for all the wonderful covers that all the shows
you need to do the little dance.
And big thanks to Glenn and to everyone that listens to us. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, so like our Facebook page. We've got a Twitter, which is Retro Asylum 1. Dean, what is your Twitter?
Dean Swain.
Right.
And I am on there. I will reply, honest.
Once again, I'd like to say you can win an N64. Three ways you can do it: like our Facebook page, leave us an iTunes review, or guess what songs they were that I've played throughout the show. And I'll be continuing to do this up until episode 29, so you've got loads of chances. You can do all three options, so you've got more of a chance of winning. And the winner will be announced on episode 30, which, if I calculate right, will be around the 4th of January. So you've still got ages to enter this competition. So thank you very much, guys. See you next time.
Cheers, guys.
Right, so yeah, I've got a lot of editing to do there.
You certainly have. That's a long one. I'm going to shoot off quickly, mate, because I've got fish and chips staring at me getting cold.
No worries, mate. Enjoy.
Right. Cheers, mate. I'll see you later.
Now, it should be a laugh then. So, all right, why don't you tell us what your next bit of site news is then?
I haven't got any.
I sent you one.
Did you?
Let me double check.
I don't think you did. Slight news, I've just got question marks. And I'll say that again properly because I messed that up. I said 0208 and then 0, yeah, which doesn't make sense.
Right, I don't know what our next section is. My iPhone's turned off.